Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today, this wonderful day, the day that the Lord has made, is the man, the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And our friend and yours, Steve Kalaszewski.
And a friendly good day to you, sir.
Good day, Steve. Oh, my goodness. Another day. Five fingers on each hand, five toes on each feet. You got no problems today. You're blessed.
Praise the Lord.
You're blessed. You woke up this morning. We are excited to be with you today. We've got so much to share. Pull up your chair. Get ready. Hope you had a happy Father's Day. Hope you remembered your fathers. Oh my goodness, we're going to talk about the Father's heart. He loves you. You too, Chris. Oh my goodness. Well, fellas, what a weekend. What a weekend. It was Father's Day weekend.
Yes, it was.
Man, I happen to like Father's Day. I really like
it.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Why
I,
is that?
I like you. Well, let me. I am a father. I am a father. Okay. But I do like that weekend. It just gives us a great opportunity to honor fathers and just love on them. Sometimes they're tend to be last, oftentimes, you know, and it's just cool to recognize them. But how was your Father's Day, Pat?
It was wonderful. Had a good time.
Really?
My family did a little extra special things for me.
Did they really?
They did. I was very surprised.
Actually, well, come on,
the day before, they took me out to lunch.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's the first time, I think, in a while.
All right. They did you have to pay when you took them out to lunch?
It did come out of my wallet.
It did come out of
that. But the thought counted.
That happens. That happens. Okay. All right. So it counted.
Yep. But that's not all. Then yesterday morning, I get up, and lo and behold, there's gifts on the table.
Gifts? Wow. Yes. Multiple gifts?
Multiple gifts.
Whoa.
Yes. Got a couple nice cards. Got this nice t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah, nice t-shirt.
You want to elaborate on the t-shirt?
Well, okay.
Well.
Was it Zane's t-shirt?
No, actually, I've broken the pattern.
Oh, my
broke the pattern.
Thank you, Lord. Answer prayer. Answer prayer.
Lord, Lord Jesus, thank you,
It was
God.
Actually a Duck Dynasty t-shirt.
Essential these days.
Very
Everyone's got to have one.
Essential to the wardrobe.
Right.
We'll be seeing that often, I'm sure, Chris.
Yes. Steve. Yes. And I got a new pair of sandals.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
Beachwear, flip flops.
Yeah,
it's hot, man. You can't wear no shoes out here. This is unbelievable.
It's like little as possible.
It's like a sauna. Well, I had a really great Father's Day as well, too. Got some gifts. I got one of those great freezer mugs. It's put in the freezer. It was a Met cup, so you know I was digging that, you know.
What's a Met now?
Mets.
What's a Mets?
The New York Mets.
Oh, I'm thinking like a snow mitten.
No,
I'm
no,
sorry,
not
I've never
at
heard
all.
Of them.
Not
are they a
like
soccer
a
team?
No. Premier baseball team out of New York. Yes, indeed.
It's not
blue.
It's not,
blue and orange are their colors. You may have noticed them. You may have noticed me wearing several. I don't have it on today, but
yeah, I like that baby blue shirt you got on there.
Well, hey, you know, it's very nice. My children bought it for me, Pat. No, I'm joking. I did get some clothing. It was nice and. It was a nice gathering last night with some of the other men. And
did you get one for your dog?
No, I didn't get one for my dog. Did not, because he's not a father, Pat.
Your dog?
He's not a father. Okay.
No, neither of my dogs are fathers. Okay. But we were honoring fathers. And we're just so grateful for them. We really are so grateful for fathers. We're grateful for everything that they do, their mentorship, their leadership. And we are thankful for the fathers in the communities, the spiritual fathers that raise us up and speak into our lives and teach us an example and lead by example. Never underestimate the power of a father. There's so many now government programs trying to replace you and trying to fill in the gap for you,
yeah.
But that's how powerful you are. And your presence is amazing, and it's absolutely wonderful. Chris, did you get any goodies on Father's Day as well, or you're awfully silent over there?
I did. Yes, I was very blessed. I was blessed with, like Pat, I was blessed with, you know, some cards. And, you know, my kids are funny because they, you know, they buy me gifts and then they want to tell me about them before they give them, before they even give them.
Oh, you're going to love this gift. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
And then they tell you.
Spill the beans.
But it was wonderful. It really was. It was good. They really blessed me. Mm. And it was some Saints apparel. So.
Oh, great.
Oh, couldn't break the pattern.
Couldn't break the pattern.
Great.
Nope. It was lovely.
Thank you, children. No. Well, that's so good. It's so good when we can do that. And it's so wonderful that we can pause out of the day and be able to just remember mm-hmm. dads, remember yeah. fathers. You know, we have a funny video that we want to just play for you, but it starts out with a couple that's out in the community, and they're coming up to a yard sale, garage sale, and they overhear the person who's having the garage sale, the father, say, "Hey, kids, help your mom," and the mother's pregnant. You can't see this in the video, so I'm kind of setting it up for you. And she looks over and says, "Well, how many children do you have?" And he says, "Well, we have three." And she kind of gets a gleam or a in her eyes. She says, "That's three's a good number." And her husband's like, "Hey, wait, let's get this.
Hold on, slow your roll.
Let's have this one first." And then the man asks, "But what is it like to be a father?" And then the man he asks, who has the yard sale, goes into this daydream. It helps us understand all the powerful things that fathers experience in their lives,
mm-hmm.
The lives of their children. And you're there, and as fathers, we're there to lead and to be, you know, strong for them. And at times, we need to be tender. But here's this video. I want you to listen to it, and we'll
hey
make sure
kids,
we have this related
mom needs
for
more
you.
Help inside.
Hey, how many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Oh, I would love 1 hour with you.
He's approaching his wife who's washing dishes. And he's twirling around her, and they're kind of dancing in the kitchen there.
Kiss her, Daddy, kiss her!
Hashtag gag me.
Ugh. Oh, he dropped her.
Mr. Clams has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy.
That's the fish.
There went the
goodbye,
fish.
Mr.
In the
Clams. Door,
no!
Drop him.
All right, just slow down a little
Dad,
bit.
Dad, stop yelling at me!
I don't think that's... Oh, okay. All right, and that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees.
Young boy shot. Dad's picking up little girl who fell asleep. Then he goes back for the doll.
And the blankie.
And now the blankie.
That was a foul.
Yeah.
Oh. Hit with the ball.
I am so proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow!
Have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful inside and out.
Whatever.
Ha 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 ha. You'll have to watch the video to enjoy this. We won't release this part.
Dad, you are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
He changed the channel.
Yeah. Father and dad, son and dad, bonding moment.
This right here goes to your future. This right here goes to you. And this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
He just replied.
Dad, I can't believe you! Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you. One, two, three! Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job. He can make clouds all day.
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
That video is so cool.
Yeah.
It just shows so many times what the adventures of a family is like and having children and being there at all their moments. And fathers are special, so we honor them. I love it once a year. Maybe we should do it more often, as well as mothers, you know. But fathers hold a very special place in our society. And it just caused me to think about Father God in his heart. You know, the Lord has an amazing heart. The Father has an amazing heart. And imagine here if you could be transported into the heart of the Father. If you could be transported into the heart of the Father, the vastness and the hugeness of that heart. I mean, you would find that there is a portion of his heart that has unceasing pain, unceasing hurt, unceasing sorrow.
Yeah.
For all of those that don't know Jesus personally, for the sufferings, for the injustices, for the pain and the trials that so many people go through, and to know that the Father's heart hurts. It hurts. It experiences pain. But at the same time, his heart experiences amazing, unceasing joy. Joy over every single person who gives their heart to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Joy over the church fulfilling the Great Commission and obeying the Great Commandment. Joy for what he sees in each and every single one of us every single time that you reach out to him. So you see the times that you don't. You see the failures. You see the times that you oversleep. The times that you chose sleep over getting up to spend time with him and you beat yourself up. But see, God, the Father's heart, he sees every time that you did wake up.
Mm-hmm.
He sees every time that you chose to seek him early and not stay in the bed. He saw how you loved on someone and he saw your heart towards him. The Father's heart is an amazing thing. And sometimes it's hard to fully grasp and wrap our minds around it. But I'm telling you that God's heart is so large for you. He loves you and has an amazing plan. I saw on Facebook yesterday so many people that were putting up pictures of their fathers and changing their profile pictures and put pictures of them and their father or just their father. And I thought that was cool. That was nice. And I liked that. And then my heart started racing and thinking about, you know, not everybody has a father at home. And what would they think about on a day like today? And what does that day mean for them? And my heart was just a little bit saddened as I thought about that. And I want to encourage you today that maybe you don't have a father in your life right now that you can, you know, express your honor to because you can see him or he's not in your life. Or maybe you have so much pain that you can't do that at this point in your life. I want to encourage you that God has a way of mending the heart. God has a way of healing us and restoring us. And there is a true and faithful Father. You know, we all try to do our best. And sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we hit the mark. But we sure need a lot of grace. We all need a lot of grace. Because one day you may be a dad or a mom. One day you may have children too. And, you know, we prepare people, 16 years maybe? 18 years for an employment. But there is no textbook. There's no training on how to be a good parent. It's on the job, you know.
OJT.
Actually, the training book is a relationship with the Lord, His Word, and a lot of time on your knees, and you do the best that you can with fear and trembling because you know that the Father's watching. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you today that listen. There is a Father, a wonderful Heavenly Father for us all, and all we need to do is reach out to Him and call Him near. Listen, the Bible says that He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll watch us through every situation. He knows the very hairs on your head. He loves you. Mm-hmm. He loves you, and His heart melts for you. Mm-hmm. And today, just tell yourself, I'm okay, because the Father, God, doesn't make junk. You are okay. You are okay. God has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I, God, the Father, have for you. Mm-hmm. Plans. These plans are to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a wonderful and glorious future. Mm-hmm. Listen, many are the plans in a man's heart, but listen, when God says He has plans for you, when the Father has plans for you, can I tell you that it is all good? Mm. All good. And so, listen, you don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to fret. And you can trust in the Lord because there's nothing like Father God's heart for you.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
As a supervisor in the workplace, can I pray with a coworker? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Supervisor in an office, and I was recently told that I cannot express my opinion in any way in matters regarding faith or religion or politics. I was also counseled that I cannot pray with staff members in or out of the office, you know, if they approach me.
Well, the idea that your workplace would be a religious-free zone is just absolutely incorrect. And a Bible study or praying with another employee, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace, that is really what the biggest issue is. We've got great resources, by the way, available on our website at aclj.org. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You hang on the line here, Kim. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to get you some help on the situation right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, someplace that is a place that you can abide. You know, just I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease, right, all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods, but go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help you could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Steve. We're talking about wishing all the fathers a happy, happy Father's Day. And we're so blessed to have an awesome Father God. I'll tell you, I just love God. And I'm just so happy that he loves me. Amen. Listen, amen. If nobody loves you today, can I tell you that God is the one that loves you? And with that, you should be able to sleep real good at night.
Amen.
I sleep very, very well. But, you know, last night, guys, I got home and my son and I are kind of getting ready for the next day and just getting some things out. And we're sitting in the living room. And I think we're trying to catch up on just some news or sports, whatever was kind of clicking through as we're getting ready. And the CNN was broadcasting this program, and it just kind of stopped us dead in our tracks from what we were doing. And I guess they were re-airing a documentary that was called Homeless, Motel Kids of Orange County, New Jersey. I got to tell you that this thing was absolutely gripping. We stayed frozen from most of what we watched. We didn't watch the whole thing, kind of just caught it in the middle.
Yeah.
But what we did see was absolutely amazing. Amazing that it would happen. What we saw was happening in this country. Homeless children living with their parents in motels.
Mm.
In motels in Orange County, California, which is one of the wealthiest counties in the entire country, which probably means one of the most wealthiest places in the world, mm-hmm, since America's in the top 5% of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to listen to this little promo, and you're going to be hearing just children speak throughout this promo for the documentary, Homeless, Motel Kids of Orange County. I want you to listen up.
What is home to you?
Home? I don't really know what that means.
Once you're here in the motel, it's so hard to get out. You know, you're paying weekly, and with the economy, it's difficult. What's it like living at the motel?
It's like you're in hell.
If you could have one wish come true, what would it be?
Redo my life.
The economy's going down. We're not feeling it because we're already there.
We have to be together no matter what. We have to live in the same room with no walls besides the four walls that we all share.
God can only give you the things you really need.
So what do you hope for this summer?
I hope for a house.
Motel Kids of Orange County. It's a new documentary. I think fairly new. They were playing it on CNN segments. And you hear these kids from the motel saying, "What do you want? I just want a home.
Wow.
I just want a home." And this lady half chuckles and says, "And I mean, you go through so much pain. Sometimes you gotta laugh so that you don't have to cry."
All right.
And she says, "You know, the economy is going down." She says, "We are already there. We don't have too much far to go."
Right.
And you may have complained in the last couple of weeks or months or years or maybe all your life of how the economy has affected your bottom line. And people are saying that now they can't go on their two vacations. They can only go to their one vacation, or, you know, they're not going to be able to go out to eat as many times as they'd like to. Now because of the economy, and they got to cut back, you know, on their Starbucks because the Starbucks now is a little bit too much or whatever it may be. But I'm sitting with my oldest son and we're just sitting and just, he's looking at me and I'm looking at him, and we had this quiet moment, the rest of the family, I don't know where they were, but we were in the back watching, and I'm listening and I'm watching this young boy crawl and do dumpster dives. He couldn't have been no more than 5 years old. And he was doing a dumpster dive because every week in that motel, somebody's evicted. And when they get evicted, the owners of the motel take all of their belongings and throw it in the dumpster. And the little boy is happy to dumpster dive because there is where he finds his new toys. And he jumps out and he holds a little matchbox car and says, "Yes! Got one. Yes." Wow. Can I tell you that I look at that and I'm just watching and just listening. You know, we are so blessed in America. There's another family, a mother and her four children, and they talk about how they live in the motel. She's, you know, oftentimes there's a misconception for people. They think that homeless people either don't want to work, they think that they're on drugs, they think that they're lazy. And obviously, in their mind, that's why you're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman actually worked, and she worked at Disneyland. She worked at Disneyland. Her life wasn't like Disneyland, but she worked at Disneyland, and she worked full-time. And yet, her full-time work was not enough to be able to support her family in her own home. And she says that she has to get another job because she has to prove income verification when she goes to get an apartment that shows that she has the resources enough to support the rent on that apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So you have five people living in one room, and the person doing the documentary asked the little boy, "So where do you put your clothes? Where do you put your clothes?" And he says, "Oh, come here, let me show you my closet." And he takes her to the bathroom, the motel bathroom. In the motel bathroom, there's this kind of makeshift shelf, and his shelf is where his few pieces of clothing are shoved in this little area, and that's his closet. And you're just looking at this and saying, "Oh my goodness, oh my goodness." And they interview this one little boy, and they ask him, "So, do you like this place?" He says, "No." He's maybe about 3 or 4, I'm guessing. He says, "No." He says, the cops, they come here all the time. I don't like when they come here." And the interviewer asks, "Well, why do they come here?" And he says, "Oh, they arrest people all the time here." So she says, "Well, why do they arrest people?" "Well, a lot of people are hitting on moms here, and they're drinking a lot. And so the police cuff them."
Wow.
And you look at what they see every single day.
Yeah.
And you think about how many people in the United States are living like that. How many people are living under those type of conditions, and they don't have anything.
Well, you remember during the father-son camping trip, we had a few situations, you know, where mothers would bring their children to the, you know, the camping trip that were in that type of predicament, living in a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we went to go pick up a young boy in a hotel, and we were able to hook him up for that weekend with a mentor. And, you know, you're just so filled with, we should be so filled with gratitude and a heart of compassion. When we see that type of stuff happening, you know, in our country, it should make us say, "Wait a minute, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing that we can be okay with people, but children no less, living in those type of conditions?" Just one woman describes the children sleeping on one bed. They're like sardines, she says. They sleep like sardines on that bed, and I sleep on this bed. Mm-hmm. And you have four kids that are laid sideways with their feet hanging on the other side across the bed. And let me tell you something. There's been great pride in our country where we have people that look down on folks that are less fortunate. They look down on people that don't have expensive shoes and clothing. I mean, what has happened where that trickles down to our young people and they have to feel this intense pressure to have these $85 pairs of shoes? I'm sorry. If you're 13 years old and you don't have a job, why you have to wear $85 pairs of shoes? $100 pair, $150 pairs of shoes. What are you doing in your life that requires, that's necessary for you to have $100 pairs of shoes and you don't have a job? And we have, you know, a society that we're raising now that's becoming so, feel like they're entitled to everything. They're entitled to the $150 pairs of shoes. They're entitled to an iPod. They're entitled to an iPad, to a cell phone, to nice clothes, to a nice car. And they feel embarrassed. It's like, no, what's embarrassing is your attitude, you know?
Yeah.
And it's in TV. It's in the culture. And what we need to do is really get a God perspective on what's happening when there's people that, you know, are not eating, when there's children. They had little puppies and they were feeding themselves and the puppies popcorn. That's what they were eating, popcorn that day. You know, and it just convicted me, you know, when you're eating something at home or you're going out to the restaurant and you say, I just can't eat this. It doesn't taste good or it's disgusting. When there's someone else that would love to eat that portion of food that we say that we don't like or is disgusting or has too much this or too much of that, it just goes to realize to say, you know, your parents used to say, oh, there's someone in China that's hungry or there's, you know, someone that's starving somewhere in Africa. Listen, there's people starving right probably around the block from your house down the street. And we can't continue to drive by through our neighborhoods. We can't continue to drive through our cities and our communities and look at homeless or look at the poor and resent them, resent the fact that they are detracting from our community, that they don't look good, that they smell, if that. Well, they don't have a house. They can't take a shower. They don't have soap. And God's watching. That's the thing. You know, God is watching how we take care of the least of those around us. And whatever we do, we should do it in secret. And the Bible speaks about if we, you know, tell about the things that we're doing, you know, for the if the right hand knows what the left hand is doing, we kind of lose our reward there.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm gonna release any reward if I have any reward coming. I prayed about this morning, coming to me just by sharing you something that happened this weekend. And I do that so that, you know what, I'm willing to whatever, you know, I didn't do it for that, but so that others can be encouraged and they can do the same. But this weekend I had a gentleman that just came up to the driveway as I was leaving and he says, hey, can I cut your grass? You know, I'm homeless. And I was really busy. I had an appointment that I had to get to that I was actually running a little bit behind. And he, you know, just listen, I was a welder. I'm unemployed. I'm homeless. And I'll do a good job. Can I cut your grass for you? My grass didn't need any cutting. I needed some other things, but definitely not cutting. And then he says, well, can I rake your leaves? You know, just I'm thinking here. What I'm thinking in my mind is I'll just give him some money and, you know, just let him go on his way because I don't have anything for him to do. And I go to give him some money. And I said, listen, I'm real busy. Don't worry about it. Here you go, man. Let me help you out. And he says, no. He says, I want to work for this. And I knew that, and if I insisted it, I would have insulted him. And he just didn't have money. And he was willing to get out there. And it was hot. Yeah. The middle of the afternoon was very hot. And he was willing to earn it. And I said, well, listen, I don't have the rake right now. You know, it's back there somewhere. And to be honest with you, I'm like running so late. Let me give you this and you can come back like whenever, you know, to come do it. And he says, no, you give me a time. You give me a time and I'll be back. So I go, okay, I'll be here tomorrow at 9 a.m. He says, yes, sir, I'll be here tomorrow at 9 a.m. So I go run off, do what I have to do. The next morning, My wife comes to get me. She says, there's someone knocking on the front door, and it's early. I go to the front door, and it's this man that told me he'll be back in the next morning. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, wow, Lord, this is, you know, pretty amazing. So still can't find the shovel, the rake. So I get the blower, you know what I'm saying? Like, here you go, man, here's a blower. And he says, thank you, sir. And we gave him a little something to eat there, and he was so grateful. He was so grateful, and the Lord started speaking to me because I was very busy. I had things that I had to do, and I realized that, wait a minute, I need to really slow down and watch my approach in this whole situation because this man matters. I wasn't treating the man bad or anything, but I really, God wanted me to experience something here and to really empathize. You know, maybe you're not treating anyone bad, but maybe your solution is just throw some money quick at them and here you go and just go. Or maybe you're too busy, and God wants you to experience this. God wants you to be involved in the process. He wants you to sympathize and empathize and have compassion over someone who's saying, listen, I need to work so I can have something to eat. And so I begin to sit down on the front steps with him and start talking, and he tells me that him and his 60-year-old father are living in the woods.
Oh, wow.
In the United States, living in the woods. Because they didn't have the resources to live in the home that they were renting any longer. And his father is 60, not 65, so he doesn't get any you know, retirement or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you start listening to this stuff, and you start realizing, wow, how blessed are you? I mean, have you thought about that question? How blessed are you? But when you think about your home, and you think about the cars, and you think about your job, and you think about what you ate last night, and you think about what you put on your body to wear, when you think about what your kids are wearing and what they ate and the activities that you have them in and the things you bought them for Christmas and their birthdays and the vacations, when you think about all this stuff that we have in America, the TVs, the PlayStations, the iPads, the iPhones, when we think about our pets and what they eat, I mean, my dog food's expensive. The good dog food, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my goodness, our animals. Did you know that the pet industry is a $1 billion industry? The pet industry. And some people take care of their animals better than they would take care of a stranger. And let me tell you that God is watching all of this. God is seeing what is happening. And friend, let me tell you, anything can happen in your life. Most people don't realize that they can suffer from a critical illness. They can suffer from some sort of an illness or setback in their family. And most people don't realize that it doesn't take much to lose it all. And if you're blessed to have a home, they say, well, we'll just get a second mortgage. You'll after you've asked for, borrowed from your friends and family, after you've taken the second mortgage on your home, after you've maxed the credit cards, if you have credit cards and you've done all this stuff, they take the second mortgage out in their home, and then they don't have the resources to pay it back, and they lose it all. And people that once had everything could instantly have nothing. Listen, it's not a big thing to imagine. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about how blessed we are in this nation, how we can love on the poor, and our great need for compassion. Where has it gone?
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the great commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came
from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, mm-hmm. and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, mm-hmm. that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, but that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but is not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical, daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU mm-hmm. that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives, and then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back on what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about this documentary, Homeless Motel Kids Living in motels in Orange County, Florida, California, and it was gripping.
Mm-hmm.
It was gripping. It was sad. One kid was asked about, how do you like the food in the soup kitchen? And he says, it's not really good, but at least it's something to eat. Mm. And it just gets us to really think about, my goodness, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? What's going on in our country? What's going on around the block from our homes, down the street, in our communities? Have we driven past motels and hotels? Have we driven past people and maybe have judged them for their condition? And we haven't seen any bit of humanity in any of this? We haven't seen God in any of this, or how we can fulfill a need? And one of the I guess the producer, or the person who made the video, was interviewed, and she was asked, you know, basically, you know, what were the conditions of these places. She went to multiple motels in Orange County, and I think it was done on purpose, particularly in Orange County, because Orange County represents probably the one or two highest counties in all of America, Orange County, California, mm-hmm. in terms of wealth. And she went to multiple motels and found that these kids were living in these horrible, I mean, horrible conditions with just bugs in their beds and just infested with just drug dealers all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you can only imagine. And she says, you can find this, what's going on here in probably any zip code. And in fact, think about it. If this is happening in the most wealthiest zip code in America, best believe that if you don't live in Orange County, it's probably happening in your community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how we respond, talking to the church right now. This is what VFN Radio is for, right? Mm-hmm. Those who are believers and those who are being drawn to God. Listen, we can't close our eyes to the poor. We can't close our eyes to those who are hungry. We can't close our eyes to those who are homeless. Jesus said, whatever you have done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have indeed done to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, it goes both ways. If you haven't done it to them, then it means you haven't done it to Jesus as well.
Yeah.
And we need a baptism of compassion. We need a baptism of compassion. We need to see the true state of what is happening to those that are suffering and those that are less fortunate. Because, like, as I said before the break, you know, it's not easy. I mean, it's easy. It's not hard to fall from any place that you're presently at today. And if you're taking credit for the luxuries that you're experiencing as a, you know, an American in this country, I would caution you, because the Bible speaks very clearly that we have not received anything that we have received. All comes from God.
Mm, that's right.
Everything. What thing can you point to that you actually got on your own? What is it in your home that you're driving, you know, that you were actually able to get all by yourself? Because let me tell you, if you point to the fact of your intelligence or your skill sets or your knowledge, the very knowledge that you have was all given to you by God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything. And so, which causes us to live a more humble life. It causes us to appreciate what we have, not to dog out what we have, but to celebrate and say, this is what the Lord's blessed me with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a popular thing, you hear people say, oh, that old thing or that ragged out thing is, or, you know, they're trying to downplay it instead of saying, hey, you know, what do you drive? The car that the Lord blessed me with, that's what I drive. You know, where do you live? The home that the Lord blessed us with, that's where we live.
Right.
You know, yeah. Because anything else, you're taking credit. But we got to have a heart of compassion. I look at in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, there's an account of a man who was ill. And it says that a man with leprosy, this was a horrible skin condition. You can imagine the lesions on the person's skin. This is a flesh-eating disease. People, you know, who still even have leprosy in different parts of the world. I believe in India there's colonies of people that have leprosy. I mean, their nose is eaten off. They're pieces of their skin, and it's highly contagious. You don't want to touch it because it can jump on your skin. But a man with leprosy came to him, speaking about Jesus, and begged him on his knees. He begged him, and then he lowered himself, and he got on his knees to position himself lower, and he asked Jesus a question: if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then verse 41, Jesus says, well, it says about the Lord, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. I mean, the man lowered himself, he humbled himself, he got on his knees and begged. And he asked the Lord, listen, if you're willing, I know that you can make me clean. And the key component there is that Jesus was filled with compassion. Unless we are filled with compassion, unless we're filled with the heart of God, we're not going to be able to respond. And Jesus reaches out his hand from where he's at and touches the man and blesses the man and gives the man what he needs. But he was filled with compassion.
Yeah, that's important.
Mm-hmm. It's important. Compassion is responding to a need. This is how it's defined. Deep awareness of the suffering of another. Deep awareness. Coupled with the wish to relieve it. When we have compassion for someone, we're not saying, oh, poor thing. By the way, can I get this, 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 and that? And you just keep going. Compassion means that we are taking the time to move in empathy. We're experiencing their pain with them. We are going through the concept and the ideas of our mind. We're getting, first of all, getting our eyes off of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we're wondering, what would that be like to be homeless? What would that be like to be standing out for 10 hours with a sign? What happened in your life that caused you to be at this point? And maybe they've dropped the ball. Maybe someone else dropped the ball in their life. But, you know, I'm amazed at how quick people are quick to say, well, it's them. You know, if they would have made wiser decisions. And all. Mm-hmm. Listen, who of us have made all the wise decisions? I know I haven't. Mm-hmm. Who of us have not made decisions in our life that caused us to suffer some amazing consequences? You just happen to be blessed enough that you didn't make those decisions that caused you to go that low. But maybe you've made other decisions.
Right.
And for the church, if we're not exercising and moving in compassion, what are we doing? And the question we're going to ask ourselves is, where is the tenderness? Where's the softness? Where is the sympathy for those who are suffering? I mean, how can we complain about anything? And right now, America is living, and the church, to be honest, is living self-focused, self-centered lives. And when you realize it, pride is literally the enemy of compassion, because pride has to do with everything about self. Mm-hmm. We got to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the people, onto what is happening. Instead, many have turned to judging. It's like, listen, we can't judge. It's like, we need to stop that. You know, Mother Teresa, she's quoted as saying, when she saw the kids that are hungry in Calcutta, India, she's quoted as saying, I see the face of God when I look at them.
Wow.
I see the face of God. What do you look at? She sees the face of God. She's also said that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them. Listen, God has called us to be people of the light, people that love, people that walk the way that Jesus wants us to walk, in humility and tenderness and brokenness. And Proverbs 19:17 says that he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. And on top of that, the word says that God will reward us for that. Lord, we don't need any reward. Just the fact that by being kind to the poor, we can lend to God. Mm-hmm. My goodness, that could be my poor. It's our portion forever, right? That right. Alone. Yeah. But on top of that, the word of God says that he'll reward us. Listen, the times are coming. Tough times have come. We've been telling you this on VFN radio. And you want to be one right now that walks tenderly, softly, with compassion and love towards those who are less fortunate, because you don't know, friend, what lies around the corner for you or for your family member. And remember that whatever we've done to the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus says, whatever you've done unto me. We can be loving on Jesus when we take care of those who are less fortunate. If you're looking for a ministry, you're looking for a way to serve, you don't know how you've been praying, that's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. What would happen if the church started moving in compassion, put the gavels down, and we start empathizing with the sufferings, with the illnesses, with the loss of homes and employment and no lack of food? Mm-hmm. If we start loving on people and encouraging it, and I'm not saying I personally know of some that are doing that. I'm talking about at large. We have to ask, where has the compassion gone? Mm-hmm. And Lord, would you baptize us? Would you baptize us with compassion and your heart for the hurting people of this world, in our communities, and even in our very own neighborhoods?
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
About all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today, you may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFNTV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. You know, being from Detroit, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on, you know, from New Jersey or, you know, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. They got
hockey.
Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, like, hockey rules. They got an app on, like, how to make ice. They got an app about, you know, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow.
Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
But really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now, talk to me. That's the app I want.
Yeah, tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey. Got to check this out. Go on iTunes, go on your Android and type in VFNTV, and you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now, the daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFNTV with you on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN radio every day, we're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for, it's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.